Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today, I'm here with Jeff Abraham, longtime friend of the show. He runs the company that makes Promescent, the product that helps men last longer during sex and enhances intimacy. This show is a gift to your penis or the penises in your life. We talk about the difference between premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction, or PE and ED. We also do a helpful role play so you can talk to your partner about his penis challenges. We give tips for mutual masturbation and ways to break out of that sex routine and how to close the orgasm gap because, hey, the struggle is real. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, that feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out everything you need to know about Sex with Emily, plus all the great content we put up every single day to make your sex life and relationship better. Also love when you guys review us on iTunes and subscribe, most importantly. Like, if I met you in person, I'd be like, are you not subscribed? I would grab your phone and press that subscribe button because you'll never miss another show again. Plus, it helps us with the show as well. Because I love you all and I love hearing your comments. So thanks for all of that. We have a new contest this month. So you know I'm always talking about the importance of pelvic floor health because it makes your orgasm stronger, more frequent, and last longer. You don't have those annoying sneeze and pee incidents. And having a strong pelvic floor just means a lot for your overall health of your body. So this month we're having a Kegels of Steel contest. But this contest is just for the vagina havers of the world. Sorry for your penises, guys. But you can let the vaginas in your world know that we are having a contest for them because the prizes for this contest will help you with your Kegels and give you orgasms. From now until May 5th, we want to hear the top thing you've learned from listening to Sex with Emily and how you've applied it to your sex life. What has it done for you? Email feedback@sexwithemily.com with your submission and we're going to pick two winners to get either an Apex by Pormois or a Wee Vibe Bloom. And if you want some examples, you're thinking, I don't know, I've learned so much from Sex with Emily, it's hard to pick just one. You can check out my sex hack videos on youtube.com/sexwithemily, where you should obviously also subscribe. And join me on social at Sex with Emily, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter, because I know you're already on Instagram anyway. Let's chat. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoy the show with Jeff Abraham. We'll be answering your emails, and I love you all. I'm excited to be here with Jeff, the CEO of Promescent, and we've been friends and connected for a long time, and I was thinking it's going to be 5 years.
Over 4 years, but less than 5 years.
Yeah, less than five, but over four, and I remember very specifically, I had just moved to LA. Greg had reached out to me, who works with you,
yes,
to talk to you about the product, and mm-hmm. I remember I just got out of the hospital. I had like pneumonia and I'd been sick and I was in Michigan for a month and my mom had to fly back with me. We were sitting in a hotel. I didn't have a place to live and I was trying to figure out my life and we talked and I was like, oh my God. And I got so, you know, I was so passionate and so driven about Sex with Emily and making it and work and then talking to you and you had that same passion about this product. I had known from the years of doing the show that so many men are suffering from like premature ejaculation or just challenge around their penises. Let's just say men have penis challenges. And we just connected around that passion and we've been, you know, friends ever since. And I remember just thinking, reflecting on how far we've both come since then, ups and downs and things with work. So I'm just so glad that you're back here in the office today to talk about everything that's been going on with you in your life and working in this industry and Promescent, which is something that I'm very, very proud to speak about and to been there with you since the beginning of it, pretty much the beginning, since you started Promescent.
Yes, since we really put a big push on to go commercial.
Yeah. So welcome back to the show. This might be your third time, and everyone loves when you're on. So, of course, we have to have you back. I've been talking about Promescent since, you know, for several years now. And whenever people email in, they have questions. We talk about it, obviously, for years. But I want to hear from you, like, what people might not know the story about how you got involved with it, because I so connected to your mission when we first met. So
it's an interesting story, and it's one that is very unorthodox. The founder of Promescent, or Absorption Pharmaceuticals, a company which makes Promescent, was a urologist by the name of Dr. Ronald Gilbert. And Ron was my neighbor and my friend and also my doctor. So it was a very complex relationship, but we were really good friends. And so in late 2010, November 2010, I went in for my yearly PSA, as men do. And during the visit, he said, you know, I really appreciate, you know, our friendship and you've been around. And he goes, I know your history because I grew up, you know, very lower middle class, you know, that kind of a thing, but a very loving, great family, but we weren't economically advantaged, so to speak. And he goes, I know how you've really done well. And he goes, I respect your business acumen. He goes, I developed a product and I really think it should have taken off, you know, much greater than it has at this point. I'd like your business expertise and, you know, could you evaluate this for me? I go, sure. And I have no idea at this point what he's about to bring up. And coincidentally, about 2 weeks prior to that, I was watching 60 Minutes and they had a special on counterfeit drugs because that's become something that's a phenomenon now. And if you want to counterfeit something, you want two things to be prevalent. You want there to be a huge market for it because obviously the demand, and you want it to have a high price so you can come in there and make money. So even though it was on counterfeit drugs, not on ED drugs and specifically, about 90% of it was about Viagra, Cialis, Levitra knockoffs, because that's what everybody was knocking off.
They're like, what else is there to knock off?
Yeah, and they said that the legitimate market for prescriptions of those three drugs at that point, this is 2010, were $6 million. And for every legitimate tablet made, there was 1.2 knockoffs. I went, oh my God, that means there's a $12 billion market. So when he tells me, okay, I've developed a drug to treat PE, I look at him and go, physical education? Because to me, when I grew up, it was like PE meant physical education. Gym. I go, yeah, well, a drug for PE, so you don't have to work out. It's, what is it, like a fat loss pill? What is it? And he looked at me, he goes, no, moron, it's premature. I go, oh, I didn't know they called it PE. He goes, yeah, they call it PE. So I said to him, hey, you know, I saw this 60 Minute special, and wow, that is an enormous market. How big is the PE market compared to ED? So I'm anticipating him saying 10% or 15% the size. He looks at me, he goes, about 15, 20% larger. I'm like, excuse me?
Larger.
I go, wait, larger? He goes, yeah. I go, you do realize? He goes, yeah. He goes, as a matter of fact, about 15% of ED is misdiagnosed PE. Yeah,
exactly. And then we're talking about erectile dysfunction and versus premature ejaculation. Yeah. Because the erectile dysfunction can be just like your erectile dysfunction, your erectile object, your penis dysfunctioned in some way. Exactly. So that's kind of umbrella.
Yes.
So it could have been PE. It could have been delayed ejaculation. It could have been other things. Under the umbrella of ED, but PE is.
But what happens is if a man has chronic PE, meaning it's not something that comes and goes, it's not something that is occasional. If he has chronic PE, he will develop anxiety-related ED, meaning his mind and his experience tells him that an erection is a bad thing. It leads to an unsatisfactory experience. So he eventually will have stage fright, or it'll be a more of a psychosis where he will be unable to get an erection, not because he has ED, because he ejaculates in 30 seconds. He knows it leads to a bad conclusion. So I was like, oh my God. So being the inquisitive type, I go, hey, does this have a recreational component to it? Because I have friends that literally, I'm not kidding you, they take Viagra, Cialis, Levitra in the morning just in case.
Just,
hey,
Right.
Just in case just I have case. A, you know, encounter later, yeah. I want to make sure I'm strapped. I don't leave the house without a gun. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. So he goes, yeah, it has a recreational component. I go, could you give me a sample of that? And he goes, yeah. So at this point, I was dating this financial analyst that worked for Shears and Lehman. So from the parking lot, I couldn't even wait to leave. As soon as I get out the parking lot, I go, hey, Carolyn, can you come over this evening? I need you to help me evaluate an investment because I'm thinking, hey, if this works, I'm going to invest in this company.
That's what I did when I got the Sibby and I invited him.
Maybe that's why. Exactly. So she comes over and we have dinner. She goes, hey, let's take a look at that investment. So she's thinking I'm going to come out with this performer spreadsheet. Yeah, PowerPoint. We're going to look at this investment. So I go upstairs. I come down. I throw the bottle of Promessa. I go, here it is. And she goes, oh, you're such a perv. I go, what? She goes, that's not, no, I go, I swear to God, technically I am a perv, I admit it, but right. technically I am investing in the company.
I'm a perv.
Yes, exactly. I said, so we really need to take a look at this. So, and I showed her the address. She goes, oh my God, that is Ron's company. Cause she had met him cause we were dating. Right. I go, no, I'm serious. I am thinking of investing, but I got to do my research. So we use the Promessa. So the next morning I call him and we were really good friends. Right. And he's like, what'd you think? I said, before we go into what I think of it, you need to change the name. And he goes into this impassioned explanation. Promescent means prolonged tumescence. Tumescence means engorged by blood. And that's a medical term for an erection. And he's going, I go, wait. He goes, well, what were you thinking? I go, how about bone like a porn star? He's like, what? I go, I swear to God, she was tapping out. And he's like, what? I go, it was like 40 minutes. And I go, she's tapping out. She's like, enough. And I'm like, hey, I worked this hard. I'm finishing, right? And he's laughing. And he goes, how much did you use? I go, I used like six sprays. He goes, well, that's if you have like severe PE. I go, dude, I read the directions. You didn't tell me. He goes, if you don't have like PE, use one or two sprays. I go, thanks for telling me. I go, so of course I had to go back and do some more research.
Of course,
you know?
Of course. And so, that's part of the job.
Yeah. So I go in a week later, I hand him a check for $100,000. I'm investing in your company. Okay. I love this. And so I go, give me 10 bottles. He's like, what? He goes, what are you going to do with 10 bottles? Of course, being the joker that I am, I go, I'm going over to the women's volleyball house at, you know, UCSB this week. I need some. He goes, what? I go, just kidding. I go, I want to see if different people have the same reaction. So I wanted to make sure that I had a broad cross section. So people that were my age at that point, 53, couple there, my son who was 20 at UC Santa Barbara,
him and his friends. Now I love your help.
Oh, he's 29.
Oh my God, I cannot believe your son is 29.
Can you believe that? You met him when he's, he's still single.
Okay, he's so
cute. Hey, I want grandchildren. Can you help me? Can we like do a call out?
Yeah, totally, but he's so adorable and smart.
Oh, he's intelligent.
I love your son.
He's everything I'm not. Intelligent, good looking, athletic, you know?
All those things. I can't believe he's to us. Anyway.
Yeah. So people are like freaking out. You gave your son. I go, my son's 20 years old. I hope he's having good sex. Okay. Do you really think that I think he's a virgin? Get out of here. Okay. So it was weird. Everyone I gave samples to within a week says, hey, what is that? Can I get more of it? I go, aha.
That's a good sign.
Good sign.
What you want to invest in?
So I had just retired. This is the funny part. I raised my son as a single dad. I started my own company from scratch. I retired. I sold it. I wrote him a business plan because they go, can you help us? You know, and I go, yeah. So I got involved. And so then they go, hey, can you write us a second? Because the first one worked really well. Company started growing. Can you write us a second plan? I go, yeah, no problem. So I just really start getting into it. So I started doing this on the side. Hey, it keeps me occupied. They asked me to come to a board meeting. I went and the CEO wasn't there. And I go, hey, are we going to wait for him to come? They go, well, no, we want you to take his place. This is a true story. I go, I don't know how to spell pharmaceuticals. I go, I've emailed some of my friends and tell them, hey, I joined, you know, I'm going to have this new company. Every time I go, P-H-A-R-M. Is it U-E or E-U? I did not know how to spell pharmaceuticals. I go, which one comes first, E or U? And they go, listen, you're passionate. You work hard and you're smart. You can do this. I go, well, I've kind of been doing some research for the last 25 years on the side, having sex. So I do have a little background, you know, and it was just intriguing. So I decided to do it. And so I took over the company and we started to grow. And as you know, there's a little tragic side to the story because Ron Gilbert, who was a director of urology at Hoag Hospital, was murdered in a case of mistaken identity.
Right, your best friend.
My best friend, which was just tragic. I mean, it was just, you can't even fathom because it turns out it was mistaken identity.
Right.
The guy had been had a prostate surgery 23 years earlier by another guy and he didn't know who it was. So he went to the VA to find out who it was because he was upset. Don't ask me why it took him 23 years to realize he was upset.
I know.
He finds out he gets the name wrong and murders the wrong guy. As a society, we tend to make more out of people in death than they are in life. It's who we are. Someone dies right away. He was, and sometimes you know him, you go, hey, wait a second. He was a good guy.
Yeah,
seriously, don't go overboard, okay?
Right.
You didn't have to do that. He was literally as pure a human being I've ever met. He was the best father, the best husband, the best friend, the best doctor. He was beyond ethical.
So I understand, this has been your drive to kind of
live out. I want him to have a legacy other than the doctor shot by the crazy guy. Because after he was murdered, it was weird. I was in my office one day and I got really emotional. I started to cry because part of this whole thing when I took it over was to make his company successful. He wasn't there. Sometimes business is not about dollars and cents.
No, it's about your passion.
It's about
finding
your passion.
You're going to help people, which
that's
is
exactly.
why. Well, that's okay. So when I opened up the show, I was saying that you and I connected on this level of both being. We both were working on something that we're very passionate about. I have this bit. I'm trying to help people better sex. I'm not sure how to make it a business at the time. I wasn't sure how to. I knew people were listening. I knew people wanted my product, if you will. It was a podcast. And then you have something you were so passionate about. Ryan had just died. And we just had so many long talks.
I remember we had 2 or 3 hour talks
on
the phone.
Yes, all the time.
And it wasn't about business.
No.
It was about passion.
It was about passion. So and that's how we've always connected. And so I'm so glad that you're here and telling me that things are moving along with
things are
with
moving along very well.
Promescent and yeah. For people who don't know what we're talking about, mm-hmm. Promescent, how would you describe it? It helps with, it's the only FDA treatment for premature ejaculation, but it's also more than that because so many people want to just last longer in bed.
Here's what I will tell people. If we would call ourselves a premature ejaculation treatment, it would be the worst thing we could do. It's a misnomer, okay? Because the actual definition, and I don't know how they come up with this in the medical community, for premature ejaculation, if you never last more than 90 seconds ever, whether you're by yourself, whether it's oral sex, whether it's anal sex, whether it's vaginal sex. Let me ask you a question. Someone lasts 94 seconds, that doesn't mean they don't have PE? For God's sakes, okay?
Right.
We've both been over this so many times that there's something called the arousal gap, that the average healthy man, we're not talking about PE, mm-hmm. we're talking about the average normal healthy man lasts 5 minutes and 42 seconds during intercourse. The average female takes 19 minutes to achieve climax.
Exactly.
Okay, so explain to me how a guy that lasts 2.5 minutes technically doesn't need something. That's why guys stop, start, switch positions, think about baseball scores, think about their grandmother naked.
Right.
I mean, all these crazy
whatever you
things.
Do, right, to last longer.
How many guys go, oh my God, I hope she doesn't get on top. Oh my God, I hope she doesn't go reverse cowgirl. Oh my God, because of that position. Oh.
I want it, but I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want it.
Oh, and, no. You know, so many people that use our product, and I'm passionate, as you know. So 2 hours a week, we have something on our website called OLARC, where it's an interactive chat function. And it's me operating it. And people go, why would you be operating it? I go, I need to understand people that use our product. How did you find
us? You've always been so good with the data. This is what I love about you from business.
Out.
I know. You're like, they found it from here. They found
it
from there.
And
so
how
what
are you using
now?
It? Do you use it every time? It is this. So many guys tell me, you know, I didn't think I even needed it. But I was like, oh, let me try it. It's out there. And I say to guys, have you ever been in a position where you're like, oh, God, oh, please. And I call it the walking on eggshells.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Because they'll go, well, I last long enough to satisfy my partner, but the last 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, you know,
right,
please.
They don't enjoy it.
Instead
as much.
Of enjoying yourself, you're having this anxiety attack. And then as soon as she finally finishes, you're like, oh God, I can let go. Wouldn't you rather be focusing on enjoying yourself and letting go and having passion rather than be like, you know,
right. White knuckling
and everyone goes, well, yeah, but doesn't everyone have to do that? I go, no, they don't. And it's crazy because isn't it about better intimacy? Isn't it about pleasing your partner?
Well, I think this is what it's really about, is that it does enhance intimacy, brings couples closer together. They can last longer. Women are just, I hear from them every day, including myself. We get frustrated with sex. There is this gap.
Absolutely.
Men don't last as long, or our partners just don't give us the foreplay that we desire.
And I know you do some work from Cosmo time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw this article in Cosmo. This was a long time ago. I think 7 or 8 years ago. And they did this survey and they asked, I think it was 1,000 women, what is the one thing that you could do to increase the level of satisfaction in your intimacy? And I think 68% said longer duration of intercourse. They ask 1,000 men, what's the one thing that would, you know, enhance your intimacy? I think 80% said bigger penis. I'm like, excuse me.
Such a misguide.
Okay, please. Okay. It just blows my mind. You know what that indicates? There's no communication.
Well,
okay. Because if men and women talked and a guy would go, listen, okay, what would give you better intimacy? And sometimes people say to me, wow, you're so considerate. You know, oh, you're such a considerate lover. I'm like, I'm actually kind of selfish, okay? But I realize the happier you are, the happier I am, okay?
Right. Whatever it is, if men can get that message
if they
sooner,
the better. Understand, if you're selfish and you don't focus on the woman, she's like, oh, God, this guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you take your time and you make sure that your woman is satisfied, you know what she's going to do? I got to make sure he's happy because I love the way he makes
it
sure I'm happy.
This is something that so many men do
not
understand.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I always say this to people, and this is the funniest thing. Before I took this job, people would say, what is the most fragile object on earth? And I just say, oh, one of those Fabergé eggs. You know, mm-hmm. they cost, what, $20,000? I go, no, it's a male ego. That is the most fragile thing on
earth.
Because everyone will tell you stories. And until I took this company, I didn't realize how bad it was. Because I was just very open. You know, it's like, hey, life is life. So it happened like about 100 times in the first 2 years. So we had this, you know, saying, if this happened, if we had a dollar every time this happened, we'd have $100. Now it's 1,000. Okay, we're up to 1,000. Literally as recently as a Super Bowl party I went to, and it was a really nice party in my neighborhood and stuff. So we're sitting there, and one of my neighbors goes, hey, you're the guy 82 Sunglow. I go, yeah. He goes, oh my God, your house is nice. I go, yeah, I just built it, you know, whatever. He goes, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm the CEO of a small pharmaceutical company. He goes, what's the name? I go, Absorption Pharmaceuticals. He goes, I never heard of it. I go, I told you, it's small.
Right.
He goes, what product? I go, it's called Promescent. He goes, what does it do? If you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you exactly
tell
what
you.
It does.
We're here at a party. I don't care if your mom's right there.
Well, he's standing there with his wife, and he goes, you know, what does it do? I go, it's an FDA-compliant treatment for premature ejaculation. Okay, talk about dropping a turd in a punch bowl, okay? There's like 15 seconds of absolute silence. Do you know how long that is? He looks at his wife. His wife looks at him. They both look at me. I look at them, right? Now, picture this. You can't see this, you know, on the podcast, but he puffs his chest out, and he's like, it's the last thing we need in this relationship.
Right.
I'm like, oh, excuse me, Ron Jeremy. Okay, you know, so whatever. So we have some small talk. Halftime comes, and they had this buffet, and they had all stuff. He goes, get some food. The wife leans over, and she goes, we could use a little bit of that. You have a sample of that?
See, this is what happens,
I
dude.
I swear to you, it's insane.
Remember when you sponsored my 10-year anniversary show at the Improv?
It was the Improv.
Yeah, the Improv. And you dropped the bottles of Impressive press on the table. I was like, you guys, grab it. And it was so funny because people would leave and then you'd see them come back like, Buck, I'm going to, and they would, all the men started grabbing it.
No one grabs it when everybody's looking. And then later, everyone's like,
the strangely, all the Promescent is in the bags.
I got to tell you another thing you'll laugh at. And this is hilarious. Okay. So we go to some of these shows like SMSNA, which is Sexual Medicine Society in North America, you know, or the AUA, American Urological Association. So the doctors come by. Oh, I've heard of this. Oh, yeah. Give me some of the TheraPen. Says, oh, how about some samples? Well, just send a case to my office, you know, whatever. So about 5:30 to 6 o'clock, the shows always end at 6 at night. Mm-hmm. The doctor come by and go, oh, can you give me a single sample of that? Yeah, I have a patient that I want to personally deliver this to. And as soon as they leave the booth, I always turn around to all our salespeople. I go, one person clinical trial taking place this evening. You know what I mean? Because you know that's exact. The guy's like, you know, hey, I'm out of town. I'm going to go, you know, whatever. And literally, I swear to God, they come by and grab one bottle because they want to go use it and find out. I literally have this theory that 75% of urologists went into urology because they wanted to learn how to have better sex. I swear.
Well, I think that makes sense. I think that we teach what we need to learn.
Yes, exactly. Every urologist, I shouldn't say everyone, because one of my friends is going to be listening with his wife and go, hey,
look at
you
therapists.
Me.
We're trying to figure out our own things.
Yeah.
I was having bad sex. I started the show because I wanted to have amazing sex, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
I remember watching your show, Misadventures.
Misadvised, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Misadvised,
yeah.
The funny thing was, I told people this before I ever met you. I go, you know, I got so used to Dr. Ruth. She'd say penis. I'd go, ooh. You know what I mean? It was like, not that there's anything wrong, because she's, you know, for her age, she's fine. But when you're a guy, you don't want, like, your grandmother saying the word penis.
Right,
that's gross.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Yeah, it's like.
But you're like, I can have Emily say it.
Yeah. And then when I told people, oh, we're going to have this relationship with Emily, you know, and I go, she's like a woman. When she says penis, you don't go, ew. You go, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, because I think guys relate more. And I think that's why you probably have a pretty significant male.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a lot of
fellowship.
Yeah.
Because
really
guys
more men
go,
than women. It's
yeah.
Like half and half.
Yeah. Because guys actually go, I could imagine her being intimate and being cool.
Yeah.
If Dr. Ruth goes, this is what women want, I would go, how would you know? You know what I mean? Like, oh.
No,
God.
I get it. It's a different.
If I was like an 80-year-old dude, I go, okay, yeah, we might, you know, but you want someone you can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want a hip young vibe to this, because for the longest time it was like, oh, you have to do it missionary style, oh, if you're 2 minutes you're fine because the AUA guideline says 90 seconds or less. I want someone real that says, hey, you can last 4 minutes, but if your partner takes 18, I don't care what the book says.
Right.
If this gives you better intimacy, then let's experiment with
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to go back to a few things. It's funny that you said that women said in the Cosmo article, whatever, mm-hmm. 8 years ago, that I want my partner to last longer, and that men were saying, I want a bigger penis. Because mm-hmm. that is just, first of all, I've said this on the show a lot, and I have no problem saying it every week. Men are way more concerned with their penis size than women.
Absolutely.
We are not concerned. We don't wish it was bigger. I've heard more from men and women who are challenged with having a large penis, all that stuff. It just shows how different men and women are, that women just want more pleasure. Mm-hmm. They want more foreplay. They want you to last a little longer.
Yeah.
And this just shows that men are thinking about it's their ego. Their penis is so tied into their ego, but they're thinking about the wrong thing. I hope that also listening to this conversation will get them to think about, your penis is fine, guys. I promise you, your penis is fine. However, if you get your penis to work a little bit more effectively for yourself, so you feel good that you're pleasing your partner, that's great. Like, let's put the energy towards that. Because, you know, also, I think we're talking about like pee, but also like, some people might not realize are the differences between having ED or delayed ejaculation. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can happen with men, and mm-hmm. a lot of it can be psychological. And then we get tripped up on it because, oh my God, it came so fast, it's going to keep happening. So well, we kind of explained the difference between ED. Did we do that already? Where ED is just if you get hard and then you can't stay hard.
Yes.
Then you're like hard again and can't. It's more of like there's a dysfunction.
ED is more specifically referring if you cannot maintain an erection significantly to have satisfactory intercourse.
Right.
Or I've been hanging around a lot of urologists.
I know
lately.
You have. But the other thing that I was going to say is that, do you find, because I know that you're on the website reading everything, that there are some people who say, I needed Promescent to realize that it was in my head and that mm-hmm. I continue to use it, or I don't need it every time anymore, but I just like to have it as like my safety because it helped me realize that I can perform in different ways, but also I just know that I can last longer when I want to, or it just helps them build up to it. And they,
absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like they almost like a
yeah.
safety.
If
like I
was,
take Ambien yeah. when I travel. I never have sleep problems, but I have a fear that what if I can't, like, what if I can't sleep, or what if I can't? And so always.
What if you have a busy day tomorrow and it's midnight and you go, I have to get up at
right.
6 and I have 12 hours of solid work and I'm going to be substandard if I don't sleep. You go, yeah. I want to have
like
it
I'm
just
not
in case.
Right. So yeah. like 3 times a year, maybe I'll yeah. take a half.
You're just but like feel, me. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Like I just need to have it weirdly because when I try, but I feel like this is the same thing because whatever we can do to help men realize that like you can have it with you. You can try it, use it when you need it, or just mm-hmm. use it ahead of time. Like it will give you that confidence.
Jane
like, you
Wells,
know you're going to last longer yeah. and still have amazing sex.
Absolutely. Jane Wells, I was on her KFI appearance. This was about 2 years ago. So she says to me, have you ever used your product?
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, you asked me a question. I'm answering it. I go, would a winemaker not drink his own wine? I go, would a cabinet maker have someone else's case? She starts
right.
laughing. She goes, oh my God, I knew you were. I go, listen. I go, I don't use it every time I'm intimate. But there are times that, yeah, if you're in a brand new relationship and you're with a really arousing person you haven't been with, of course, the stimulation is going to be much greater than normal because familiarity sometimes gets a little bit mundane.
Right.
If you haven't been intimate in quite a while, you're going to have a quicker trigger, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of a thing. And there are nights where you go, I don't want to have a 30-minute session. You know, we both have to get up early,
right.
you know, that kind of a thing. There are times that you go,
it's just different. Right.
It's just different. And the one thing that I will tell you, though, is people who go, if there's a man who goes, I've never in my life ever had a need for that, they're covering something up. Because it's just something that it doesn't mean. There are people that have chronic pee. There are people that have sporadic pee.
Yeah, let's talk about yeah. the different kinds or like who it impacts. Because I think that a lot of people think it's younger men that.
Well, here's the crazy part. The actual truth to this is almost all men, the first couple times they have sex, will have PE.
Yes.
You don't know what the feeling is. You don't know how to control it. It's totally foreign. The excitement is like, I remember the first time I was 15 years old that I was intimate. I swear to you, I think it lasted 8 seconds. Okay. I was like, I don't know what that was, but that felt good. Okay. I was like, did I even?
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. And so you have no idea even what the feeling of an orgasm is. It's just, so then you get to a point where you, okay, now you settle in, you go, oh, I have a little, a lot more control. But a lot of the physiological issues like prostatitis and low testosterone and hypogonadism, these are things that come on later in life. Okay. So a lot of younger men have it initially because of it's something they don't do a lot,
right,
or it's new.
They have to practice it.
Yes.
Right.
So there is a syndrome where a lot of young men will have it. There's another syndrome that as you age, a lot of the physiological reasons come with age. But there's also a significant segment of the population that have hypersensitivity. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that the penile nerves under the frenulum,
right,
which is the bottom of the head of the penis,
exactly.
They are
the most
wired.
Sensitive part, your best friend. The
That's
frenulum.
Exactly. Just like certain people run faster than others, mm-hmm. certain people jump higher than others, certain people last longer than others.
Right.
Is we both know SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, with those who aren't in the medical profession, they're the
SSRIs,
depression drugs.
Right.
Yeah, Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft. They actually delay the ejaculatory response. The only problem is they have some significant side effects,
yeah,
like dry mouth, nausea, vomiting.
So up until started talking about PP, that's what they would give to
people. That's what they would
patients.
Give to people.
Right, right.
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. But the side effects are pretty significant. But the thing is, there's a wider range of things out there. And we like to educate because we believe if you do your homework and you look at all the options out there, a large majority of people are going to go, I don't want to take depression drugs if I'm not depressed. I don't want to have dry mouth, nausea.
I'm so not a fan of people going on antidepressants, yeah, unless you are truly depressed.
Well, here's the crazy part. So being the CEO and investing quite a bit of my money, I invested millions of my own money eventually when we started to grow in the company. How can I effectively market this product and know who needs it unless I know what else is out there? So I tried every other, you know, topical. So mm-hmm. I said to Ron, he was still alive at the time. I said, Ron, I know it's a low dose specifically for PE, but I want you to put me on whatever the low dose is so I see how that works. Because how can I speak intelligently,
right,
about how this works versus that if I have no idea? So he puts me on a low dose Zoloft thing. I think it's serotoxin, whatever mm-hmm. the real name is, right? 20 milligrams a day. Yes, that's exactly what it is. You're more medical than I am. So he puts me on this low dose, 20 milligrams a day. By the 10th day I call him, I go, can I just get off of this all once or do you got to taper down? He goes, it's got a half-life. You have to go, you know, one every other day for 3 days and one every third day. He goes, why? I go, let me tell you something right now. Someone took my libido, put it in a Garmin bag.
No, I get it.
And locked it in the trunk, okay? I go, literally, Elle McPherson could walk in here. She was real hot back then. I think
right.
she's still hot.
She's
but she was like super hot.
No,
but this
I
was
get
like
it.
10 years ago, right? I go, she could walk in here right now, strip down, lie on the kitchen table. I go, I'd rather have a ham sandwich. I go, okay, it's not like I have low libido. I have no libido.
Right.
I go, not only that, it feels like someone put a blow dryer in my mouth.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what this dry mouth
no,
thing is.
No, dry mouth, dry everything.
Oh
yeah,
my God. My eyes were dry. I was like, I felt like a right. reptile, you know? And I go, get me off of this. And it was crazy. I go, that to me is like putting out a candle with a fire hose, treating PE
I
with,
get it.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
why
SSRIs.
So, right.
Yeah.
It's
just, and this is non-systemic.
People still talk about that too.
They still do.
I know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other things that we talk about. Like, it's not like you have to, like, you know, try out permestin, but also
no.
doing Kegel exercises.
Absolutely.
See, which is great to have ejaculatory control. Seeing your, you know, doing Kegel exercises, you know, dealing with anxiety, the stop-start method. And all that stuff matters because it's important to have, you know, healthy prostate, healthy. It helps with everything with men's stronger orgasms. But what I also like is just, like there's just ways to move past it. And that if you wanted to use or have a bottle of permestin and you try it out and it can help you every now and then, that's great. But we're saying that there's other things
there's
that you can
other
definitely
things. And
do.
We,
but this is great that this exists
that
on the planet, which is what I love.
It has to be an option, okay? And sometimes if someone has severe PE, I mean, there are people that have something called portal PE, meaning they ejaculate during foreplay. That's a real syndrome.
I just thought it was because I was really
somebody
hot.
In the room. I'm not going to mention names. Is raising hands. Oh, I've been experienced with someone who had that. Yeah. So it does exist.
Oh.
So they use combination therapies. A combination therapy is a SSRI along with a topical like promescent because it's so severe that they
and
really
those are
need
the men
something.
With the penis, the sensitive penises.
Those are the men who have
sensitivity?
Like yeah, that have penile sensitivity, or a lot of it is low serotonin. One of the reasons why serotonin works is people have lower levels of serotonin. Also, men who are uncircumcised have higher levels of PE. Mm-hmm. So I ask a couple very noted urologists, okay, why would that work? He goes, think about it. If you're circumcised, your head of your penis rubs on your, you know, underwear, you know, this. Right. If you have an uncircumcised penis that has the foreskin over the top, it's very sensitive because it never sees the light of day, right, except when you're having intercourse.
Right, which makes so much sense.
It makes it so much. I go, wow, that's really interesting. You know?
You've learned a lot about the penis in all these last years. Look at this.
A couple years ago, I went to this urology conference, and it was a special thing on sexual medicine. So they asked me to give a little talk because obviously running the company, mm-hmm, I have a little thing. So the guy that introduced me is rather noted in the area. And he goes, this is Jeff Abraham. He's the CEO of Absorption Pharmaceuticals. He goes, I personally believe this guy is probably the preeminent expert on premature ejaculation, you know, maybe in North America. Yeah. I go up in front of the room. I go, you know, I really don't want that on my epitaph if I die one day. You know what I mean? Without further explanation. You know what I mean? Here's the king of PE. Right. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I need to get a little further into this. It was through research. You know what I mean? It was like, but I just found that kind of funny because even doctors, urologists, okay, right, they work on ED, prostate, incontinence. So they do a certain amount a day. I do this all day, every day. I talk to therapists. I talk to urologists. I talk to people who have it, both severe PE, recreationally. And if you're passionate about something and you find out that it exists to an extent that you never realized, and, you know, a lot of podcasts I do, a lot of, you know, terrestrial radio shows that I do and serious radio shows I do, they take calls. Do you know that when they open up the phone lines, 40% of the people calling are women? They all have the exact same question. I know if it's a woman, here's the question. You know, we could use that in a relationship, but how do I bring it up without upsetting
Let's talk about bringing it up in a relationship.
Here's exactly how you do.
Women are the ones who buy the condoms, they buy the lube.
Absolutely.
They buy the promescent. Let's talk about it.
So here's what I say. Hey, they call up and they go, okay, we'll role play here.
Let's role play.
Okay, there's a call online too. Emily, what can I do for you today, Emily?
Hi. Yeah, I heard what you were saying, I mean, about my husband. It's not that he always really ejaculates, if you will, very quickly, but sometimes he does. And he's a sweet man. I mean, he tries very hard and he tries to do the Kegels or the Kegels. How do you say it?
Kegels.
He tries to do it, but I know he's very sensitive. And sometimes he does, you know, he gets to the party before I do, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I just wonder, like, now I'm hearing that this product that you have could actually work, but he's so sensitive. And I got my Michigan accent out. He's so sensitive, and I'm not sure.
That is very good. It also doubles the Wisconsin accent,
thanks,
too. But it is,
yeah, same Midwest thing, Midwest. Yeah. And I'm just not sure how I would bring it up to him, because his penis, I love his penis, and I love our marriage, and I'm not sure how I would bring it up and say to him, look, honey, it's fine what you do in the bed. And if you know, sometimes come a little quickly, but I have this thing for you, without him feeling even worse than he already does. Because, you know, men and their egos.
I certainly do, Emily. I have an ego myself. And I field these calls all the time. Let me tell you how you should address it. You don't want to say, and you're already on to this, oh, you have an issue. You don't want to personalize it and say you're deficient. What you want to say is, honey, just like you said, I love your penis. I love our lovemaking. And you say, you know, it's really great. But, you know, let's go out on the edge a little bit. I read 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm going to go out and buy a feather duster. And I'm going to buy some handcuffs. And I'm going to buy, you know, a whip. And then include the promescent in. So it's not personalized. Ooh, where, oh my God, this is an issue.
A goodie bag.
Roll it into a goodie bag in a fantasy night, okay? And then he may, oh, let me try this. Because let me tell you, Emily, that in my experience, and I'm 60 years old now, okay, I can't remember a time I ever went over to visit another couple, whether it's date night or by myself, and you go over and they're watching television. I've never, ever gone over and the woman has the remote and the guy's just sitting there. The guy has the remote. He's in control. He's like, mm-hmm, deciding what's on television. Whenever you go on a double date or ever you see a couple driving down the street, how many times is the woman driving, the guy's in the passenger side? 1%. And I can guarantee the 1% of the guy's a DUI. He doesn't have a driver's license. That's why it's the other side. Men love control. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's, as a man, you're taught you're in control.
Well, that's so, why I don't really want to talk to him, because I know that he's just going to feel bad when I try to take the remote.
That's why you let him. You let him make the choice. You put it in the goodie bag. Because once he tries it once and he realizes he has control, you're going to have to try to keep him away from it. You're not going to have to give it to him. You're going to have to take it away from him, because he's going to go, I love control.
But how does it work exactly? Can you tell me what it means? Like, if he just takes it and puts it on his penis and then he just lasts longer? Like, I don't understand. Is it bad for him? What does it do?
Here's the good part. There are literally no side effects. It is lidocaine, which has been around for 45 years. We have sold 1.7 million bottles. The only calls we've had to our contraindications line, and that's the call, the 800 number you call if you have problems. I wouldn't say we've never had a call because that would be inaccurate. But the calls we have, hey, can I use this with a condom? Can I use it if I'm pregnant? Can I use this? We've never had someone call, go, oh, my penis turned green and fall. You know,
right.
This product is safe, insanely safe. That's why 2,200 urologists in North America have this product in the protocol. So if you go in to see them, under P, it says Promescent by name. This is what you mm-hmm. use. It is extremely safe. And the mechanism, this is why it's effective, because there were other products that were lidocaine, benzocaine based before, and they actually allowed the man to last longer. But the problem was, all they do is sit on the top of the skin and they numb you. And we used to have this joke that drop a cinder block on your penis, you can't feel it. Okay, that's why you're lasting so long. Right. You go, hey, I'm having really long lasting sex, but I feel like I'm taking aerobics. Right. I'm sweating. I can't feel anything here. Right. And it transfers to the female. And obviously you're inhibiting both people's pleasure if you're both numb, because the objective is to have feeling and eventually reach the promise.
Because I don't want to last longer, because I already think that I already know when I don't want anything to impact my sex life.
No, not at all.
I just want him to last longer.
You want him to last longer. So Dr. Ron Gilbert, who is the founder and who was a urologist who invented this product, looked at all the options out there, because when people came to see him for prostate issues, he had a ton of options. People came to see him for incontinence, he had a ton of options. People had prostate issues, he had a ton of options. People came to see him for PE, he said, well, you can take SSRIs and have no libido and a dry mouth and everything else, or you can just go home and have PE. Mm-hmm. So he said, I need to help develop something. My patients are suffering. He found that the best way that had no side effects were the cane family of products, benzocaine, lidocaine, but he had to figure out a way so they would not, you know, numb the man totally up and absorb to the female. He got together with Dr. Tony Capomaccio, who was a research PhD chemist at the University of Georgia, and they developed this eutectic formula that changed the crystalline structure of lidocaine. It's normally a crystal, a solid. They changed it in this formulation to an oil aqueous solution, so it penetrates the outer surface of the skin. So it gets into the sensory nerves underneath. So the man maintains a higher degree of surface sensitivity, and it doesn't transfer to the female partner.
Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Help keep the show free, because they're awesome and so are you. We'll be right back. Let's talk to the people. I love talking to the people on the show.
So do I.
If you have a question you want me to answer, that's amazing. You can now text Ask Emily one word to 797979. If you want to be called on a future call show, just indicate yes, I will call you. You can also submit a question from the Sex with Emily website via the Ask Emily tab. And as always, include information that helps me help you, your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Nick, 27 in Santa Cruz. Don't worry, not your son, Nick.
When you said Nick, I know, for 29, I know. Orange County. Hey, my dad's too out
exactly.
there. He's embarrassing me on podcasts. How do I deal with that?
Just give Nick my direct number, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Emily, my girlfriend and I have been together for nearly 5 years since she and I were 16, 17, respectively. Now that we're older, there's some tension regarding sex. She wasn't my first sexual experience, and this information wasn't delivered to her in the best way, so a trust problem started from there. She found porn on my computer and felt very strongly that she wasn't enough, and I liked looking at other women. There's a porn issue. She saw the porn. Yeah. Now she doesn't want me watching porn or even masturbating. I still masturbate and watch porn without her knowing. I feel bad about it. I know masturbating is healthy and it doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about her. I hate these secrets. I want to be honest with her. So far, my approach is what she doesn't know won't hurt her. It's worked and things have been getting better. It eats me up inside. I want to change it. How can I be honest with her and help her understand that when I watch porn or masturbate, it's not because I don't care deeply for her? So I'm just, you know, you do a lot of talking with men and their penises. I talk about this a lot on the show because I understand that masturbation is so confusing, especially with young women. I've said when I was 25 dating a guy for like 2 years, my boyfriend, I found out he was watching porn and I felt like I wasn't enough for him, that he wanted me to have blonde hair, long legs, big boobs. It's confusing for women mm-hmm. why a man would need to, it feels like cheating mm-hmm. when you don't understand that actual masturbation is part of a healthy sex life. And mm-hmm. so I understand that your struggle here, Nick. We've talked about this a lot on the show and we have some great blogs about it on the website, but I also understand that you're feeling duplicitous because he's hiding it from her. Mm-hmm. And he said, I won't do it. And now he's doing it. And I don't know how else to, because I talk about it a lot on the show, that it's important for her to masturbate as well. And that men will masturbate before they got into a relationship, during a relationship, after. So have you ever come across this, or what would you say to men who are feeling guilty about their masturbation habit and when women don't quite get it? How would you communicate this?
I would communicate it in this fashion. And I don't believe in ever telling your partner, no, I won't do something, and doing it, hiding. You
like
need
you said,
to
you
do,
don't, you can't lie.
Yes, you do one of two things, okay? You either say to her, I want you to understand this doesn't mean that you're lacking. As a matter of fact, I believe that maybe you should be masturbating as well. And why don't we mutually masturbate? Why don't we have mutual? So that it takes the shame away from it. We can both do it. It may draw us closer. And if she's unwilling to do that, you might not be suited. You might not be compatible. Okay. To me, when you start living a duplicitous life, you go, well, I can't expose that, especially when it comes to intimacy with your partner. For God's sakes, you either have to bridge that gap or move on.
Right.
So is he going to live the rest of his life masturbating in secret exactly. in the closet? I'm going to make a fake business trip so I can go jerk off somewhere.
Yeah, no,
okay.
You're so right. Sorry, hon, I couldn't pick out a tie this morning.
Yeah, exactly. What were you doing in the closet there for an hour and a half?
You bring up a great point, and I love that you're so blunt about this and so direct, which I can always count on you for. Is that Nick? I think you're right. Like he's going to. I get that they've been together like mm-hmm. 5 years. Mm-hmm. From 16 to 22, you know, let's think of how much we change over these years, and that you want to please her, you love her. But the truth is, yeah, I mean, you can tell her that it's healthy, it's natural, it's normal. She should be masturbating. Well, you can't change her mind. You have to just be honest and say, I need to do this. It's important for me. I'd love to do it together. Everything that Jeff is saying, and that you're right to say that, Nick, if this is something that she really can't handle and she's forbidding you from masturbating and she hasn't gotten her head around this yet, because I don't think I even got it when I was younger, it might be time to find yourself in another relationship, because you're not going to change anybody unless they want to change. But you can give her all the data. It sounds like you've given her the information of how important it is and that it's healthy.
Include her
right,
and say,
mutual
listen,
masturbation.
Yeah, we can masturbate together, okay? Right. And I'd love to watch you. I don't know about most guys, but I'm assuming because
right?
I might have occasionally seen a porno or two or 7,000 uh-huh. or 8,000 or 400,000 or 500,000, you know. But if you ever watch porn directed at men, there are always women masturbating. Always. You know why? Because guys love
it's
watching
hot, right?
a woman please herself.
Right.
Love it. I know
why?
For me.
Why do you think you love it?
Because two things. Number one, it shows me how she likes to be touched. And let me tell you something. Every clitoris and every female is, even though they look somewhat similar, they are totally different, okay? Something that pleases one woman and goes, oh my God, I love that. Some are like, oh my God, I can't. It is insane how the exact same genitalia, some people, I like it rough. I love, some people are like, oh wait, I love this tender touch. You know what I mean? You're like, wait a second. How can something that looks so similar and so many people have so many different responses?
Right.
So number one, I love the idea that I'm learning. When I watch her touch herself, that is exactly how she wants to be touched.
Exactly.
Because she's doing it with total control. Because how many times, you know, you're with, well, you're not with a woman, but for
well,
me,
I've
you're
been
with a woman.
Man,
oh,
but
exactly.
I get it.
Exactly.
But not, yeah.
Okay. That's a whole other subject. We may have to go to my next podcast, okay?
Okay.
My mind's wandering, okay? Who was the woman? Yeah, okay. But it's one of those things that, you know, it's always like, oh, you're the best, you're good. And you're like, oh, really? Okay. If you watch a woman touch herself, you know that's exactly
right.
what she wants.
She's
she
doing
has total
two
control.
Finger tap.
That's
she's it. Going
that's
in circles.
That's exactly. How many
she's,
fingers there? She's going up, yeah. down. How hard? That's exactly what I'm focusing on. What exactly? I always love how much pressure. How does
yeah.
she like it? You know, like you say, circle
is she
up,
is she
down,
circle?
Tapping.
Is she not even touching the clitoris? Is she going around the
I was
going
to say, I always love the ones that in the area, but I don't want direct contact.
Right.
Exactly.
So to me, it's a direct route. It's sort of a shortcut.
It's a shortcut.
To months of stumbling.
It's like having the answers instead of having to take the class and then take the test 6 months later. You go, hey, yeah. I got a crib sheet. I'm looking right now. I got right? the answers already.
And
I don't have to go through the...
Exactly. Yeah. And as a woman, I can say that I love it because I think even though penises are less varied, I can pretty much figure out how to please a penis. I've also been around. But my hands have been around. You know, I've studied sex a lot and had sex. But just the nuances with men as well. Like some, when they're giving themselves a hand, they go, or they're giving themselves a hand job. When they're masturbating, they go over the top.
Yes.
And they go back down. Some just stay at the base. Some just on their frenulum. And the second I see like, oh, he's the one that goes over the top. And then I know I do that thing that he did.
Exactly. You're going, he gave me the keys to the castle right
the
there.
Keys.
I was like looking. It's almost
a
like,
shortcut and it's hot. So it's the two things. Well, it's educational and it's super hot.
Number one, education. Number two, is there anything better? Because let's face it, if you're in the middle of making love, you're all focused on what you're doing and you can't really sit back and watch a woman's expression and watch. You know, I love the idea that I'm watching her pleasure herself and I'm watching how the buildup comes. Because, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you're busy. You got stuff you're doing over there. You know what I mean? It's like, I love the idea that I don't have anything. I don't have a task other than studying. You know what I mean? And watching. And there's nothing if you're a man that's more sensuous than watching a woman have an orgasm where you're not like, oh, I'm kind of looking up off the side or never where I'm at. You know what I mean? Where you're just totally focused on that. I love that. It's so hot.
It is hot.
Yeah.
Good advice. Yeah. So, Nick, that's what we're telling you. We got to bring her into your porn
communicate,
game.
Nick.
Communicate it. Okay. We'll do one more.
I love these.
I know.
Yeah.
You're always so fun. Let's think.
I never think the guys like 22 and women 22 have these issues. I go, probably like people 60, but people born in this day and age that have issues communicate like that. I'm like, really?
Honey, every age people have challenges around sex.
I mean, you're 22 growing up now and you're going, gee, masturbation is like unhealthy. Really?
That's why we're helping everybody.
That's
okay,
right.
So let's do Kelly, 25, California. Hey, Emily, I've been with my boyfriend for just over a year, and we have the most amazing sex. About 6 months ago, his refractory period just vanished. He can come and then start another round without even pulling out of me. He often comes multiple times per session and wants sex multiple times per day. I love it, but I've never been with a guy who can do this, and he says it's a new experience for him that has only happened with me. I'm wondering, is this common, and could that be the reason for it? Is it his hormones, or is our sex really that good? So he comes a lot that he doesn't have a refractory period. And the reason why I wanted to talk to this one is because, Kelly, you're 25. I'm going to assume he's about your age. And my guy that I was dating when I was 25, he could just keep coming and coming and coming. Like, I think that it is a youth is on your side. Mm-hmm. And it's rare, but he could just get hard come and then keep going. And it was a miracle.
Well, I call that, and we have a saying, you know, that with some of the younger people, even if they have an issue sometimes with not lasting long enough, I call it, they have a machine gun. They don't have to worry about it. They're spraying bullets all night. And then you get to a point, you know, when you're in your mid-40s, and you go, you have a rifle. You know what I mean? You get one shot and you take it. It's better be right through the head, because I go, at my age, it's like I have a musket. You know what I mean? Right. I got to put the ball in. You know what I mean? It takes like a half hour to load it up. So it's one of those things. But according to her, if I read that email or heard you read the email correctly, she said that all of a sudden increased out of nowhere, that he wasn't that way, that came. That's not an age thing. I would say her man has maybe a little performance enhancing.
Do you think he's taking some like Cialis or Vagrasone?
It's either a steroid or maybe a combination or a ED drug, because you don't go from having normal sex and all of a sudden go, now I can come, you know, a bunch of times, my refractory period goes away.
That's true.
That comes from a
good
increase in hormones, a dramatic increase in hormones or an ED drug. I mean, if you're wired that way from birth, it's one thing. But all of a sudden in your mid-20s, you go, and especially with the same sexual partner.
I guess so. I guess I didn't say, I just got excited that this happens when you're 25, because I can relate
to it. I get
kind of
excited.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. But also I think that that could be it. You're right. Maybe he is taking a drug. You can ask him, is he taking Viagra or Cialis? Because if it completely disappeared. So if Kelly, if it was like you've been with him for over a year, and if the first, let's say, you know, 9 months, 10 months, he'd come once, roll over, fall asleep, or come once, you have the next day, or come once, wait an hour. But now it's straightforward, no stopping, then you're right.
There's something that drastically changed. And you and I both know, because we're not in our early 20s, that the longer
although I feel that way.
You feel that way, exactly. You do look that way, too. That if you are in a relationship, the longer the relationship, it's going to go the other way. You're not going to become more. Familiarity breeds contempt. They say that for a reason. And anyone, I don't care how creative you are, how great your sex is, if you don't work at it, you're going to get into a routine. Mm-hmm. It's like anything in life.
Everything.
Okay? Everything.
Exercise.
So the idea that you're going to be in a relationship that, you know, you have sex once a night, it's fairly routine, and all of a sudden halfway with the same person or same circumstances, you turn into this raving sex god. Seriously?
Mm-hmm. No, good point. That could be it.
Yeah, really?
That
pull this finger, play Jingle Bells.
Right, exactly.
Okay?
No, I got it. I got it. No, you're right. That's a really good point. And then also, if your boyfriend, though, starts to last longer, like maybe they're using Promessin, that's not a bad thing.
Let me look up his name. Let me go on my site. Oh, there he is. Yeah, I just ordered a 3-pack. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being here. And thank you for, I'm so proud of you and all the success you've had with Promessin.
You've been
getting
a big
out
part
there.
Of
it's
it.
It's really important.
You know, for us, it's about education. I tell this to people because one of the things that we battle against, I always tell people, it's not people loving the product. If we get business, we get repeat business. The thing is, people go, oh, that's one of those lidocaine sprays. I already tried that. They don't realize.
Right, they've tried a bad one.
Do you know how many times that we get emails, or when I'm talking to people on the website, they're getting ready to order, they go, you know, I tried Stud 100. I tried, you know, Mandalay, Riser, Duration.
I would never let people try that stuff.
And I go, wait a second. Okay, that's like saying I drove a Honda Civic, I drove a Ford Pinto. Why would I drive a Ferrari? It's a car. It's got four wheels. I go, well, they work a little differently. Why don't you take a little test drive and then let me know? And, you know, I'm out there. And sometimes I'll say, what's your address? And they'll go, why? I go, I'm going to send you a bottle on me. They go, what? And I go, I want you to email me back personally. And they always do. They'll go, oh, my God, thank you. You know, I'm a loyal customer for life. I go, I want you to have the experience to literally make the determination if you think it is better. Almost 90% of people that we've talked to and asked that use our product have used another product prior. And you know how many of them go, I almost didn't buy because I just, it's not even the idea of spending $19. I just don't want to be disappointed again. I didn't want to get my hopes.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Yeah. No.
I knew that, but I thought,
As we continue to grow, we're doing larger manufacturing runs. We're getting ready to introduce a new bottle. This is a 30 spray bottle. It's in between the 10 and 60.
I need some. I have so many, but we need some more samples.
You will have some FedEx tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll call.
Okay.
I know the big guys in the company really well. I can make things happen. I'll make a call.
Because it's the kind of thing when I have guys here, I'm like, come into our sex toy closet, which you haven't seen yet. Oh, we have it on our shelf right there.
You're going to have a lot more.
We have one on our shelf. Look at that, Jeff. You're on display. But it's funny because I know that like sometimes I'll let guys alone in the closet because they're not as comfortable and I know that they want it and it's not there.
Yeah. No.
So anyway.
We run into that. We talked about that earlier where, you know, you have a show and everyone's like, oh, no, no. Right, next thing you know, it's like, hey, where'd those bottles go?
Right. It's awesome. Jeff, thank you. From Promescent. Everyone can check it out. They'll be in the show notes. Thank you for being here. This has been
it's
a really
a
good time. You got to come back and I'm going to come see you in Vegas soon.
Yes.
We'll hang out.
Two, 3 weeks.
So I will be in Vegas, you guys. I'll let you know when I'm there. And thank you for being here. And
my
thank
pleasure.
You for being along. I'm sponsored supporter of the show. And I just love knowing you and having you in my life.
I love people who educate people about intimacy. It's needed, desperately needed.
I know. We don't come
real talk.
Equipped.
Yes.
Real talk, real sex.
Yes.
I just want people to have better sex and what you're doing. So do you. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to my amazing team. Ken, Jamie, our volunteers, Shannon, Jenny, Sarah, producer Lark, and Michael. I love you guys. And thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Text Ask Emily to 797979.